Translation of Gokhala by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, what should all living entities constantly remember? Ramananda Rai replied, the chief objects of remembrance are always the Lord's holy name, qualities, and pastimes. Please repeat after me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked,
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked,
what should all living entities,
constantly remember?
Ramananda Rai replied, the chief objects of remembrance,
are always
the Lord's holy name, qualities, and pastimes. Srimad Bhagavatam 2236 states, Tasmat Saratmana Rajan Hari Sarvatra Sarvatha Shrotavya Kirtavastascha Smartavyo Bhagavan Namin Nirman. Shukadeva Goswami concludes, the business of the living entity is to always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In every circumstance, the Lord should be heard about, glorified, and remembered by all human beings. Short purpose. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Meditamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Varo Vishyam Stapitam Yena Rudale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dati Svapadadikram Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Guru Pada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Shri Rupam Sahajatam Sahajatam Vidam Tam Sajivam Sahajatam Sahajutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Param Sahajatam Shri Vishakam Vidam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Vardhu Jaya Pade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Aragata Namaste Kapta Kanta Lohanke Radhe Vrindavishwari Vishapadu Sudevi Namami Hari Kriyai Pancha Kauta Chalukasha Kripa Sindhu Devi Vrata Patitam Bhavirevyo Vaishnavayo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Srinivadi Pashacharya Shatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So the verse again, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, what should all living entities constantly remember? Ramananda Rai replied, the chief objects of remembrance are always the Lord's holy name, qualities, and pastimes. So this is a wonderful chapter. It's a long chapter. We now have arrived at verse 252. And the discussions have proceeded and escalated to higher and higher states of realization. It culminating in a description of Madhurya Ras and specifically the relationship between Radha and Krishna and the supreme position of Srimati Radha. And It got to the point where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared, now I do not believe there's anything further to be said. Everything has been said. And basically the conversation sort of concluded at that point. But Ramananda Rai did not want it to finish, at least his association with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he requested the Lord, can the Lord please stay for 10 more days? And the Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, certainly, you know, these conversations, my association with you, listening to you, is the pinnacle. So the Lord stayed for 10 more days, and every evening the Lord and Ramananda Rai would get together and there would be some further discussions. So one evening Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started to ask a series of very succinct questions, encapsulating or capturing the essence of the process and conclusion of bhakti. So we're currently in this section. And in this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is inquiring about the activity or the principle of remembrance, shravana. This is a very, very important, very, very important subject matter in the process of bhakti. The importance and the significance of remembrance, smaranam, has already been established by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita. And Lord Krishna very clearly says, yamam bhakti smaran aham jadati eva kalevara tam tam evati kanteya sadha bhava bhavitaha. That whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, but that state he will attain without fail. So remembrance is the defining state of consciousness at the time of death. And that determines where we go to, into our next life. And in the same 18th chapter, Lord Krishna says, ananya chetaha satatam yo mam smarati nitya saha tasya hamsu labha partha nitya yuktasya yogina. Krishna says, for one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain. O son of Prita, because of his constant engagement, here Lord Krishna is again establishing this chief principle of smarana, remembrance. And the Lord says, one who is able to remember him without deviation, he is very easy to obtain. And that same principle has been very clearly established by Srila Rupa Goswami, where he quotes this verse from the Padma Purana. Smartavya sakatam vishnu vishmartavyo na chatuchit sarvavidhi nishedhasyu etayo eva kinkara. And basically what Rupa Goswami says, if one can distill from all of the shastras, if one can distill one single instruction from all the positive injunctions and negative prohibitions, if you can distill it to one, what would be that single instruction? This is this verse, Smartavya Satatam Vishnu. And the translation of this verse is that Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be servants of these two principles. So So we can do everything in our spiritual life. We can follow every activity, and we can be expert of it, in it. But if we fail in the simple principle to always remember and never forget Krishna, we failed. We've lost the plot. We've missed the boat. Everything should culminate in constant remembrance and never forgetting Krishna. So this is the significance of why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking this question about remembrance. So remembrance has been established as smaranam, as the most important consideration. So the next question will automatically remind, what should be the object of our remembrance? What is the topmost, what is the most important, what is the chief object of remembrance? And here, Sri Ramananda is replying, and he's saying, three objects. Nama, the name of the Lord. Guna, the qualities of the Lord. And Lila, the pastimes of the Lord. This is what should be our remembrance. And we shall try to discuss this a bit more in today's class. Srila Prabhupada quotes an interesting verse in the purport. And that verse, who knows who speaks that verse? Well, it's said here, Shukadeva Goswami. Now, Shukadeva Goswami is speaking this verse in response. In response to the all-important, the all-defining question in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The question that sets the tone and leads to the entire conversation in Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is the question asked by Maharaj Parikshit in the 19th chapter of the Bhagavatam, verses 37 and 38. So we understand from the Srimad Bhagavatam that Maharaj Parikshit had received the curse that he was going to die in 7 days. At least he knew he's going to die in 7 days. We don't have that privilege. We could die today. We could die at any moment. That's why he said that this question that Maharaj Parikshit asked, it is the most relevant question. Because it's applicable to all of us. So Maharaj Parikshit, he handed over his kingdom to his son. He put on a loincloth. He walked to the banks of the river Ganges, and he was ready to prepare himself for death, waiting to be instructed. And we know that, you know, the Vyasa Sun was vacant, and nobody knew who was going to be the personality who was going to instruct Maharaj Parikshit. And when Shukadeva Goswami entered, instinctively everybody knew that Shukadeva Goswami was the personality. And immediately he sat on the Vyasasana. And when he sat on the Vyasasana, Maharaj Parikshit inquired from him. And he said, you are the spiritual master of all the great saints and devotees. I am therefore begging you to show me the way of perfection for all persons, especially the one who is about to die. About to die means all of us. All of us. Once Prahlad Maharaj was talking to his school friends, and he was emphasizing for them the importance and urgency to take up devotional service. And his friends were saying, yes, Prahlad, that's well and good, and we're not disagreeable to your proposition, but this is for us when we are older. Then Prahlad Maharaj very intelligently replied, What does old mean? Fritz couldn't reply. And Prahlad Maharaj said, old means about to die. Can any one of you all say that you're not about to die? No. So you should take up devotional service. And then Parikshit Maharaj inquires, he says, please let me know what a man should hear about, chant, remember, and worship. So this is the question he asks. And Shukadeva Goswami's response was unequivocal, instant, clear, so clear. And this is the verse that's being quoted here. The business of the living entity is to always remember the Supreme Personality of God in all circumstances. The Lord should be heard about, glorified, and remembered by all human beings. So, Srimad Bhagavatam was finished. The all-important question was asked, and the all-important answer was given. And then Shukadeva Goswami asked Parikshit, so shall we do that? Shall we hear about? Shall we glorify? Shall we worship Lord Krishna? And Parikshit Maharaj says, oh yes, please. And then that's the rest of the Bhagavatam. The glorification about Lord Krishna. And it goes higher and higher and higher and higher, the quality of that description, and it culminates in the 10th canto, which is the pastime of Lord Krishna. So, you know, there is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. Prahlad Maharaj talks about the 9 items or activities of devotional service. And we know Srila Prabhupada has always said that it all starts with Shravana, hearing. Hearing is the most important. So one who has heard very nicely, heard very attentively, what comes next is Kirtana. And the culmination, the fruit of proper hearing, proper Shravana, proper Kirtana is Smarana. That is the result. That's the culmination. That's the fruit. If we have heard and chanted properly, then remembrance, this constant remembrance of Krishna, will be there. Now this fact is very clearly established in the Srimad Bhagavatam through many, many citations. And I'll cite 3 references just to emphasize the point. Cite the references in the sense that how it is established that Smarana, you always have the progression. Shravana, Kirtana, Smarana. So in the 10th canto, the 70th chapter, text 43, there's a description of the activities of the Lord. And there's a situation where a messenger comes to Lord Krishna at one stage, explaining the plight of 20,000 kings who had been captured by Jarasandha. And anyway, you know, there is some prayers to the Lord and appeal to the Lord, and then Narad Muni arrives. And he starts to inform the Lord about a Rajasuya sacrifice that's being planned by Maharaj Yudhisthira. And then he declares very very clearly, Sri Narad Muni, he says, Shravanat Kirtanat Damyat Puyante Ante Vasayanda Tava Brahma Mayas Yesha Kim Utek Shavi Ravi Sanaha. Shri Narada Muni says, O Lord, even outcasts are purified by hearing and chanting your glories and meditating upon you, the Absolute Truth. What then to speak of those who see and touch you? The important point being here is the very first line. Shravanat, Kirtanat, Dhanyat. Dhanyat means it's an intense form of meditation or remembrance. So here it is mentioned, Shravanat, Kirtanat, and Dhanyat. And then we have the verse in the 11th canto where Prabhuda Maharaj, Sait Prabhuda is talking to Maharaj Nimi. And there is this conversation where Maharaj Nimi is being instructed. And in verses 27 to 28, he said, Shravanam Kirtanam Danyam Hari Adbhuta Karmana Janma Karma Gunanam Cha Tad Arte Kira Chinishtitam. And essentially the translation says, one should hear, glorify and meditate upon the wonderful transcendental activities of the Lord. One should specifically become absorbed in the appearance, activities, qualities and holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus inspired, one should perform all of one's daily activities as an offering to the Lord. One should perform sacrifice, charity and penance exclusively for the Lord's satisfaction. Similarly, one should chant only those mantras which glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all of one's religious activities should be performed as an offering to you. Whatever one finds pleasing or enjoyable, he should immediately offer to the Supreme Lord. And even his wife, children and home and very life here, he should offer at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then there's the all famous verse in the 7th canto spoken by Prahlad Maharaj, text 23 to 24. Shri Prahlad Uvacha, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Achanam Dandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam. Where Prahlad Maharaj explains the process of devotional service, hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, worshipping, offering praise, becoming the servant, becoming the friend, offering one's body, mind, and soul. And there he said, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. And then we have these verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, which we just read today. And there he said, Shrotavya, Kirtitavyascha, Smartavyo Bhagavan Nirnam. First comes Shrotavya. Shrotavya means hearing. Then Kirtitavyascha, chanting. And then Smartavyo. And then a last verse is also text number 5. Shukdev Goswami says, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyas Chechetat Abhayam. O descendant of King Bharata, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear God, glorify and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the super soul of control and savior of all miseries. So there we have it. Clearly established in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the various citations, that there is hearing, there is chanting, and then there is remembrance. So, let us just discuss this a bit more. So generally, at least in the neophyte stage, hearing is a passive process. We sit, just like one of you, I'm speaking, and you're hearing. So it's a passive process. Right? Listen. But chanting is an active process. It's an action where we vibrate in the tongue and we hearing. So that's an active process. It follows from passive to active. Now, when we have smarana remembrance, just like we all have an experience, in the mornings we chant. And we try to focus on the hearing. As one devotee once asked the Prabhupada, what should we think about when we chant? And the Prabhupada said, don't think about anything. Simply focus on vibrating and hearing. So that's the neophyte stage, that's the beginning stage. That we hear. But as we advance, when we chant, there should be remembrance. There should be remembrance. So the remembrance bit is the active, the further active, the announcement. So there are stages in this remembering, and there's also various degrees of eligibility in the hearing. Now, in the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami clearly explains this, and Srila Prabhupada's purport on this particular verse is brilliant. And Srila Prabhupada explains to us the various stages of remembrance. Now this is important for us. You know, Stephen Covey used to say the 7 habits of highly effective people. And one of the habits was, begin with the end in mind. You begin with the end in mind. When the goal is established, when you know what the goal is, you begin with that. Then your the trajectory or the the path to success is going to be more easily achieved. So we know the goal is remembrance. Now we need to understand what is the quality, what is the nature of that remembrance. And Srila Jiva Goswami has explained 5 stages of remembrance, which Srila Prabhupada beautifully describes in the purport to this verse. So I'd just like to spend a little time just going through that. So the verse is tan nama rupa charitadi su ketam nano smitjo kramena hisana narasi niyojya tishtan rajita anuragi jana anudami kalam naye akilamiti upadesha sharam. So the translation of this verse is the essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Raja, Goloka Vrindavan, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. So in this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami is very clearly establishing a goal and the process to attain that goal. And he says 24 hours a day. Now for most people, when they hear this 24 hours a day, one should constantly remember Krishna. We think, oh, but we have to sleep, don't we? We have to sleep. So when we sleep, what we remember is out of our control. So how is this 24 hours a day achievable? That Srila Prabhupada explains. Srila Prabhupada explains. And then one purport, I think I've got it here somewhere, sometimes I get mixed up in my paperwork. Srila Prabhupada very clearly explains that even within our sleep, we can chant, we can remember the Lord. In his book, what's Satyananda Swamiji's latest book?
The Living Name.
Yeah, The Living Name. So in the very first chapter, Maharaj, he recites a very nice incident he had. He said Srila Prabhupada went to Germany in 1974. And he was a young brahmachari. And he wanted to know or understand, what does a spiritual master do when he goes to rest? So Srila Prabhupada was on the first floor taking rest. So he climbed up the balcony. The window was slightly open, and he peeked in. And he saw Srila Prabhupada was resting. He said, okay, he's resting. No doubt about that. Now let's see what he does when he rests. And he looked at Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was vibrating. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He could see Prabhupada's lips moving. And he could also hear Prabhupada chanting. And he was amazed. His Prabhupada is chanting while he's resting. And he's like stunned and he's looking. And suddenly one eye of Prabhupada opened and looked straight at him. So to say, that's enough now. You got your answer. And he quickly ran away. There's also one pastime with Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj was a great devotee, a very close associate of Srila Prabhupada. So once Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj was not well, and they took him to the doctor to get diagnosed. And the doctor put his stethoscope on Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj's chest, and he was open to the heartbeat. But instead, what he was hearing? He was hearing the heartbeat, yeah? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And the doctor was amazed that internally this vibration was going on. So the point is, and Prabhupada makes this point very clearly in one of the purports. Srila Prabhupada says, if one is very attached to Krishna, one is very attached to the Holy Name, one has reached the state of Nam Siddhi, then one is constantly chanting, even in one's sleep. And then there's no question of not remembering Krishna. Not remembering Krishna. So let's discuss a bit maybe now about the five stages of remembrance that Srila Prabhupada describes in the purport to this verse. It's very insightful, very important, a very important point. Prabhupada starts the purport by establishing the fact that it is no question of remembrance, or at least constant remembrance, unless one has control of the mind. And therefore Prabhupada talks about, Prabhupada clearly says, he says, the Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for training the mind to be always engaged in Krishna's business. The mind contains hundreds and thousands of impressions, not only of this life, but also of many, many lives of the past. These impressions sometimes come in contact with one another and produce contradictory pictures. And in this way, the mind's function can become dangerous for the conditioned soul. Now, nobody needs to convince us of this, is it? It's a daily experience we have. This constant battle with the mind, lifetimes of these impressions, always coming in various guises and various forms. And even if we have all good intentions of focusing our mind and meditating on Krishna is not possible. It's not possible because of the function of the mind. And Prabhupada says, and then Prabhupada, you know, speaks. I'll come back to this because he explains about the goal that Rupa Goswami talks about. But he quotes Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his own spiritual master. He says, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has commented as follows upon this verse meaning the verse we just discussed. One who has not yet developed interest in Krishna consciousness should give up all material motives and train his mind by following the progressive regulative principles, namely chanting and remembering Krishna and his name, form, quality, pastime, and so forth. In this way, after developing a taste for such things, one should try to live in Vrindavan and pass his time constantly remembering Krishna's name, fame, pastimes, and qualities under the direction and protection of an expert devotee. This is the sum and substance of all instruction regarding the cultivation of devotional service. So what is the sum and substance of all instruction regarding the cultivation of devotional service? Is that one should firstly focus one's mind in hearing and chanting so that the mind can be cleared of all of these unwanted impressions. We have to become free of all of this. Then only there is the opportunity for remembrance. And now Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain the five stages of remembrance. So please listen carefully. So Prabhupada says, in the neophyte stage, which is, you can say for me, in the neophyte stage, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. This is called Shravana Dasa. So what is the first stage called? Shravana Dasa. And what does it entail? To hear about. By constantly hearing the transcendental holy name of Krishna, and hearing of his transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes, one will attain the stage of acceptance called Varanadasa. So what is the second stage?
Varanadasa.
And what is the characteristic of this Varanadasa?
Acceptance
in terms that one now has complete faith. One has complete faith in hearing. And one starts to develop some attraction for hearing. So this is called Varanadasa. And this Srila Prabhupada is actually quoting Srila Jiva Goswami. When one attains this stage, it becomes attached to Krishna Katha. So that's the other characteristic. One becomes attached. When one is able to chant in ecstasy, he attains the stage of Smarana Vastha. So what is the third stage? Smarana Vastha. And what is the characteristic of this stage? One chants in ecstasy. That means Sudanam. That is Namaparad, Namabas, and Sudanam. So here, that's the third stage. And the fourth stage, the Prabhupada explains, the state of remembering. So recollection, absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, and trance are the five items of progressive Krishna Smarana. So Srila Prabhupada goes a bit quickly there. So I just wanted to go back to Jiva Goswami's, at least the Sanskrit terms of this. Get mixed up with my papers, isn't it? Oh, so much of paper. So the five stages, so the first is Shravana Dasa, the second is Varana Dasa, the third one is Smarana Dasa, the fourth stage is called Bhavapan Dasa, the attainment of ecstatic spiritual emotions, which Srila Prabhupada characterizes as anusmriti, a constant remembrance. And the last stage is called Prem Sampati Dasa. And Prabhupada terms this, or it is said, the attainment of ecstatic love of Krishna, or trance, or samadhi. And Prabhupada says, after being fully developed, one can perfectly and clearly understand his eternal relationship with Krishna called Sampadidas, the perfection of life. So essentially, just to summarize, there is interrupted remembrance. That is the stage where the mind is not purified. So by further purification, it becomes uninterrupted. That means one can remember Krishna uninterrupted. And that's when the mind is purified. And then there's a stage where there's not only uninterrupted, but it is natural attraction. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj explains this. So Prahlad Maharaj was asked by his father, what have you learnt in school? And he said, I learned in school today is Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. And that sent Hiranyakashipu into a rage. And he said, teacher, what are you teaching this boy? We don't know. We haven't taught him this. Anyway, the teachers approached Prahlad. And they said, Prahlad, I don't know how you arrived at this point. But now we've got to clear your mind of this Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. We are now going to teach you what is the real goal of life. Not this Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. And then Prahlad looks at them and says, you don't understand. He says, what don't you understand? He says, my mind is like a magnet to which iron filings are automatically attracted to. If you put iron filings here and you put a magnet here, automatically the iron filings would gravitate to the magnet. You can't stop it. It's just a natural process. So Prabhupada said, even if I didn't want to think about Krishna, even if I didn't want to think about Vishnu, I can't help it. It's going to naturally, my mind naturally gravitates towards thinking about Krishna. Just like iron filings naturally gravitate towards a magnet. So this is the third stage. And generally we said this happens at the stage of Ruchi. We know the different stages. Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anavita Nirviti, Nishtha, Uruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Prema. That is one. So at the stage of Ruchi, before the stage of Ruchi, we have to endeavor. We have to endeavor to think about Krishna. Make an effort to think about Krishna. But when we achieve the stage of Ruchi, it's automatic. And someone asked the question, if I offer a pure devotee 1 million palms to forget Krishna for one moment, can he do it? The answer would be no. Because he doesn't have that ability to control that remembrance. It just automatically, as Kunti says, she says, as the river Ganges naturally flows towards the sea, let my mind be naturally attracted towards towards your pastimes. So these are the different stages. And beyond the state of natural attraction, as we know, the stage of Raga Dugga Bhakti, which is the stage of Raga Dugga Bhakti, just like an expert gardener, just by smelling a flower, he will know what the flower is. The expert spiritual master will automatically know when the devotee reaches the stage of Raga Dugga Bhakti. And then the spiritual master will say, your relationship in the spiritual world is this, as a sakha, or in vatsalya, or madhurya. And you should now focus on those pastimes of the Lord. And then the devotee, under the expert guidance, as Srila Prabhupada is quoting in this verse, it's all here in Srila Prabhupada's verse. Everything is here. Srila Prabhupada is quoting these verses from Rupa Goswami, Krishna Smaranam Janam Chasya Prishtam Nija Samar Sabhi Itam Tat Tat Katavitas Chasu Kurya Prasam Raja Sada. A devotee should always reside in the transcendental realm of Raja and always engage in Krishna Smaran Janma Chasya Prishtam, the remembrance of Sri Krishna and his beloved associates. By following in the footsteps of such associates and by entering into the eternal guidance, one can acquire an intense desire to serve the Supreme Personality of God. So the process of Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti is one, under the expert guidance of a resident of Vrindavan, one will focus on excellent pastimes, and one will intensify one's remembrance, one's smarana of those particular pastimes. And Prabhupada then quotes the verse, Seva sadhaka rupena, siga rupena chachari, tat bhava lupsena karaya, raja loka anusharata. Meaning we have the sadhaka rupa and we have the siddha rupa. Like Rupa Goswami's sadhaka rupa is Rupa Goswami, the siddha rupa is Rupa Manjari. So anyway, I may be getting into too much. But the point being, the goal is remembrance. And there is increasing and deepening stages of remembrance. And Krishna wanted to reveal this. Krishna wanted to reveal this. And therefore he coined a plan to send Uddhava to Vrindavan. So one day Krishna called Uddhava. Just a moment, today's class finishes at 8:45. Till 8:45. Okay, I'll try to wrap up here. Krishna called Uddhava once, and he said to Uddhava, "I've got a mission for you. I want you to go to Vrindavan and pacify the residents of Vrindavan. Tell them that I am always speaking of them, and very soon I will come to be with them." But Krishna's ultimate objective was to show to Uddhava what real smarana means. And we briefly explained in the Bhagavatam that Uddhava was a disciple of Brihaspati. So his smaranam was a bit intellectual. So anyway, Uddhava arrives in Vrindavan. It was late evening. It's described in the Krishna book or in the Bhagavatam how cows, hundreds of thousands of white cows were coming back. There was dust everywhere. And everyone was chanting the glories of Lord Krishna. So Uddhava parks his chariot, goes firstly into the house of Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj welcomes him, washes his feet. He's very pleased to see Uddhava. And then immediately Nanda Maharaj starts to inquire about Lord Krishna. How is Krishna? Is he well? Is his parents well? What is he doing? Does he remember us? And then he starts to recount all of the pastimes of Lord Krishna. The killing of the Govindas, going and pasturing the cows and calves. And as he recounts these pastimes of Krishna through his mind, he reaches a stage where he cannot speak anymore. He comes completely stunned. And Uddhava is looking at him. And Uddhava is thinking, wow, this is another platform. This is another platform. And then all the while Mother Yashoda is sitting there. And she's not saying anything. And as she's hearing Nanda Maharaj recount the pastimes of Lord Krishna, tears are flowing from her eyes, milk is flowing from her breast, and she's just completely absorbed in thought of Krishna. And then Uddhava looks at Mother Yashoda, and he's never experienced, he's never seen such a display of remembrance before. And he tries to pacify them, but he knows that, you know, he's in a different territory. And then he goes on the next morning, the gopis get up, they do their mangalarti, and after mangalarti they see this golden chariot parked outside Nanda Maharaj's house. They wonder who is come, and eventually they see Uddhava. He's a cousin of Krishna, he's the son of the brother of Vasudeva. He looks just like Krishna. And then he comes to meet them, and then the gopis start to speak. And I won't get into that. Srimati Radha Rani starts to talk to the bumblebee. And then he sees that state of remembrance, Shravanam, Smaranam, even at its pinnacle. And that's when he prays, let me in my next birth become a creeper, so that the dust of the lotus feet of this great residence of Vrindavan can fall upon me. Okay, there's much more to say, but I think we should conclude here. I'll stop. Take any questions, comments, or reflections that anyone has.
Yes, Prabhupada. I have one reflection about the final pastime with Uddhava and Krishna. Just prior to Krishna leaving the planet. So Uddhava, he knows he's not going to see Krishna again. He's walking away. And it's described that as Uddhava was walking away, he heard Krishna within his heart speak a verse from the Bhagavad Gita that often he and Arjuna would sit down and discuss many, many times. And as he was walking away, he heard Krishna in his heart say, always think of me. Become my devotee, worship me, and offer homage unto me, being fully absorbed in me, surely will come to me. And one other, as we're talking about the process of developing attraction for Krishna and the holy name, I was recalling many years ago, Vishnujan Maharaj came to Vancouver and was singing some Bhakti Vanotapur Bhajans, and he gave a very beautiful translation of one verse that always really stuck with me. And it was, when a wind will that baby mine, offenses ceasing, peace for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine?
Thank you for sharing that. So, before we go to questions, I would all your missus to really explain something, cover something very, very important about this remembrance. And I wanted to read a letter from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That really for us, you know, sometimes when we read this, we become a bit despondent. You know, we think, oh, this is way beyond the, you know, these five stages of remembrance, it's going to be many lifetimes. It's going to be many lifetimes. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur once wrote a letter which I always take great hope from. And basically he wrote, I am overjoyed to hear your enthusiasm for chanting is increasing. As our contaminations are removed by chanting, the Lord's form, qualities, and pastimes will be revealed to us in the holy name. There is no point in making a separate effort to artificially remember the Lord's form, qualities, and pastimes. The Lord and His name are one and the same. This will be understood clearly when the coverings in your heart are removed. By chanting without offenses, you will personally realize that all perfection comes from the holy name. Through chanting, the distinction that exists between the self and the gross and subtle bodies is gradually effaced and one realizes one's own spiritual form. Once aware of the spiritual body, as one continues to chant, one sees the transcendental nature of the Lord's form. Only the holy name reveals the spiritual form of the Lord, the qualities of the Lord, and causes him to be attracted to Krishna's qualities. Only the holy name reveals the spiritual activities of the living being, and then causes him to be attracted to Krishna's pastimes. By service to the holy name, it does not only mean chanting of the holy name, it also includes the other duties of the chanter. If we serve the holy name with body, mind, and soul, then the direction of that service spontaneously manifests like the sun in the clear sky of the heart. What is the nature of the holy name? Eventually, all these understandings spontaneously appear in the heart of one who chants the holy name. The true nature of Harinam is revealed by listening to, reading and studying the scriptures. It is unnecessary to write anything further on the subject. All of these things will be revealed to you through chanting. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, okay, these five stages. Simply perfect the chanting of the holy name. Nam Siddhi, by the mercy of Nam Prabhu, all of these will be revealed. The name, the guna, the qualities, the pastime will be revealed for us. Remembrance comes through the mercy of Krishna. Sorry, I just missed that. I wanted to. So, Hare Krishna. So let's go back to any questions or reflections that anyone has, or comments or corrections. Yes, sir.
Again, it brings to mind Bhaktisiddhanta, his understanding of that we know. What seemed to be his, he quoted the Bible, we should not chant the holy name of anyone. In other words, for us, but for the sole pleasure of Krishna. In other words, that it's not an activity that we actively get ourselves, we participate, but we want Krishna's pleasure in this activity, to give him something, as they do, you know, like with dancing. That's an active, you know, when you see the coward going through the dance, they're also dancing as well. So for his pleasure as well, you know, when Krishna sees this activity of pleasure, that gives him more pleasure. You know, when he sees that they're getting pleasure out of it, he then starts to somehow, it touches his heart, actually. It pierces his heart. So that's all I can remember. To chant the holy name for his pleasure is also a rather great
It's a deep subject, but Nam Prabhu is non-different from Krishna. Krishna. So we call it Prabhu. And then we follow our predecessor acharyas. We follow our Lord. And they refer to his love Prabhu. So we refer to him. We don't make up our own terminology. Nam Bhagavan. There was a question in Bhadi Das about it.
Thank you for the wonderful class, Prabhu. You mentioned about different stages of Smarana. I was thinking that sometimes we try to, so when we take vows, we say I chant minimum of 60 rounds. So that means there's always that thing in the back of mind to try and chant more whenever possible. And in my personal experience, you know, sometimes I chanted 64 rounds and so on for a period of time, or more than 60 rounds consistently for a period of time. But I don't know, this tendency of feeling yourself better than others because you're chanting more than others, for example, or you're reading more than others, or you're hearing more than others, this starts to creep in. How do you prevent yourself from, you know, this, you know, feeling of, which creeps in sometimes, that you are doing better than others?
So that's the danger, you see. Prabhupada says minimum 16, and the understanding is that Prabhupada wanted us to chant more. So, you know, why are we chanting more? What more are we chanting? So one should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower and strong in the street. One should be more tolerant than the sheep, devoid of all sense of false prestige. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So if we are chanting in that frame of mind, then 64 rounds shouldn't lead us to think that we are superior. So it comes out of the frame of mind we're chanting. And if we find ourselves really battling to enter into that frame of mind, Prabhupada says, call another. Prabhupada also gave us another way of looking at samadhi. And I was quite surprised when I was studying for this class, I read a few purports, and I was quite amazed how Srila Prabhupada in quite a few purports talks about Sankirtan Samadhi. How this samadhi, this final state of remembrance of Krishna, will come to us through Sankirtan. And Prabhupada says, just when we go out to the streets to chant Hare Krishna and distribute books, when we do those activities, we have to be thinking about Krishna. So Prabhupada, I got the impression when I was reading that for the members of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, Prabhupada preferred us to go through the route of Sankirtan Samadhi. Always chant more rounds, but also he seems to have emphasized that that's a good, strong process for us to reach Samadhi. I mean, I was recently listening to an interview with the Mahotsava Prabhu, who is the number one book distributor. He's broken the world record, I think, about 3 times over in the last 6 months. And within those interviews, he talks about Sankirtan Samadhi. And he talks about how he went into Sankirtan Samadhi during those periods. And I was completely shocked. And I was thinking, yes. And when I read this purport by Srila Prabhupada, I was thinking, yes, there is such a thing as Sankirtan Samadhi. And here's the living proof of it, which we heard. So Prabhupada gave us different ways by which we can reach this Sankirtan Samadhi. He was concerned that when we try to imitate Srila Haridas Thakur, the chanting 64 rounds or something, prematurely, it may lead us with the wrong outcome, wrong result. So he said, become humble by going out to the street and subjecting ourselves, crushing our egos. This is the insight.
Anything else for anyone? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So I see there are various artworks being done also of the Lord and his pastime. And can you comment on that, and how does that help us remember? Because in Krishna Nama Guna Lila, there's no mentioning really of visual representation. Of course, we can assume how Krishna looks like actually, you know. Maybe some of the painters actually saw him, you know, visually, but how is that helpful, or should we, know how it looks like?
So Srila Prabhupada just said these paintings, they are windows to the spiritual world. Well, what did Srila Prabhupada mean by that? So, you know, Smaranam follows Shravanam, meaning for us to, if we haven't read Srimad Bhagavatam, if we haven't heard about the leaders of Krishna, then we are not going to be able to remember that. So these paintings, Srila Prabhupada says, as you say, they are captured on canvas, the windows to the spiritual world. They are especially helpful for neophytes like myself, who have can't see those, it's like the 10th canto essentially of the Bhagavatam is someone taking our hand and taking us to a window and saying, please look through that window. And when you look through that window, you'll see what happens in the world of Krishna. So what the paintings are is just, they are physical capture of those. And they're helpful for us. Just like when we reach Namsadi, automatically all of those photos come to us. But now a stage, we have to look at photos to realize. Anyone else to add to me? Let's go in.
One artist, he had all these pictures of Krishna. And so Prabhupada said, which is most like Krishna? Prabhupada looked at him kind of the astonishment and said, they're all Krishna.
Thank you. Alright.
Did Prabhupada not provide some guidance to that?
Yes, Prabhupada guided.
So Prabhupada told them what who, so there's so many shades of who are guidance of, what shade of being Krishna.
Yes, it was all guided. Prabhupada guided. Okay, thank you very much. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Prabhupada ki, Gaura Bhakta ki, Gaura